We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7, The Game.
Thanks so much for choosing to spend what is a mournful afternoon with us. If you're a sports fan, if you are from or have a family, you have to be touched by the tragic helicopter crash that claimed so many souls. Kobe and his daughter, obviously the headliners, but the others who passed away in this crash, it's just so painful. Like I said, it reads like anyone's Christmas card list. You have whole families or significant portions of families being wiped out in what is such a tragic accident. Again, I don't know if there's ever a good time, guys, to get tragic aviation level news, but going to the airport's not exactly when you want it, and that's when I got it. You know, it is amazing that and I know that this is about airline travel, not necessarily helicopters, but flying is any way you want to measure it the safest way to travel. What's staggering to me is, and maybe it just feels this way, maybe it's, I saw the Buddy Holly movie one too many times as a kid, but it feels like there's a disproportionate number of celebrity deaths in relation to how safe air travel is.
In part, that's because air travel is much safer in a commercial airliner. So helicopters and small planes are much more dangerous than large planes.
But you would think, again, and I could see how on the margins you'd get there. Kobe's got money that doesn't run out.
Yeah.
And I heard that the helicopter that crashed it's like Airwolf. It's like state of the art, by the way. Second Airwolf reference in 2 weeks. I think we win a prize. But he had a state of the art helicopter, and you would figure that the quality of a good pilot was, expense was not an issue. It's just amazing that the more granular you get into the world of wealth, the more jeopardy you're in on a small private craft than if you just flown commercial. I mean, not that he could fly commercially around LA, obviously, but it's just, I don't know. It's a million different thoughts have popped into my mind, and there's one of them. One more of them.
Yeah, I mean, this was his pilot and had been his pilot for years, and it was the same helicopter for years. So any number of things could have happened, and I'm assuming the NTSA will.
Oh, there'd be a full-on investigation.
Yeah, I mean, there already is. I mean, they said they were sending out a team of 18. Now, I don't know if they're all investigators or if some of them are support staff or, sort of just, people who help facilitate, an investigation and the investigators. But they said it's a standard crew for any kind of incident like this. So,
Mark Spears is going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour. We love talking basketball with Mark. Mark has shared incredible personal stuff with us in the past. I remember at Oracle, ahead of the last game at Oracle, he got very emotional. And he's a guy who wears a heart on his sleeve, and he knew Kobe pretty darn well as media members are really allowed to get to know the subjects that they cover in the world of the NBA. And we look forward to talking with Mark Spears in just a little bit. We look forward to talking with you. A
couple quick things I just want to throw out. The Lakers, we talked about how they haven't tweeted anything or said anything formally yet. A lot of reports coming in now that pretty much the entire brass, Rob Pelinka, Jeannie Buss, have been with Vanessa Bryant in Orange County. And per Ramona Shelburne, Rob Pelinka was Gianna's godfather, which, Pelinka was Kobe's agent for Kobe's whole career. And also UConn women's basketball, which Gianna was a huge UConn fan.
She hoped
to go to UConn. Right. They're honoring her before their game tonight against Team USA.
Yeah, I'm not either surprised or offended by the fact the Lakers haven't tweeted anything out. I think a tweet seems way too small to commemorate his importance to them. I think they did the right thing by choosing not to, for whatever reason.
Yeah, it sounds like they've sort of left it in the hands of Vanessa to a large degree.
Well,
yeah, I mean, you would just think the way that social media works, it's almost forbidden to do it like this. I'm not saying it's the right or wrong thing to do. It's just staggering to me that there has yet to be anything about it. And just quickly speaking of something as trite as tweets, Kobe Bryant's last tweet ever was a congratulations to LeBron James for passing him third on the all-time NBA scoring list just
Saturday night.
12 hours.
And apparently, before the plane crash. Another thing that's come out today. Apparently, Kobe called LeBron. And in the Lakers locker room on speakerphone with his teammates around, Kobe and LeBron had a conversation late Saturday night after the game when LeBron passed Kobe.
888-957-9570. Brian in Mountain View. Thank you for your patience, Brian. Hello.
Hey, Damon. I just want to say thank you for having me on the show. I just want to say it's just been a really silent day for me. I haven't even been able to get out of the house. Just the fact that knowing that Kobe Bryant, you know, he's always going to be a legend to us, and he's like the reason why kids like me, you know, play basketball and inspire us to do whatever we can for possibilities. And crazy to me to say that as a Warriors fan, but you know what? We have to respect the man, the myth, the legend, and you know, just the fact that I'm going to miss him. And I just found out knowing this from my dad texting me saying that Kobe died yesterday. And I'm wondering, like, is this really happening? And so my point of all this is, you know, we're going to miss him. And I think the NBA should put patches of Kobe Bryant's number 8 and number 24 on all 30 teams.
Thank you very much, Brian. I'll tell you what a few teams chose to do, taking corresponding 24-second shot clock violations.
Well, and some 8-second half-court violations as well.
It's the equivalent of a basketball 21-gun salute. Yeah. It really, I mean, they could not have done that more perfectly.
Bulls and Spurs will do it again tonight. Pretty much everyone in their first game after Kobe's passing, it sounds like, we'll arrange something like that.
Tip off, hold the ball, take the clock violation, inbounds other team, same thing, play on. Chris Paul apparently is out tonight.
For, it says, personal reasons, but
it sounds like you may
draw the appropriate conclusion.
It sounds like almost everyone who played with Kobe on the Olympic team is going to sit tonight if they have a game.
The players that went out and played last night, I do want to tip my cap to them, though. I mean, I'm not tipping my cap to anyone who's not playing, but to strap it on and go to work in the face of personal tragedy is like the Lakers have canceled tomorrow night's game. And the first thing that popped into my mind was the meme of Kobe shaking his head and saying, soft. Like, I mean, that's the respect I have for the level of just fierce competitor that he was. I guarantee you that if Kobe had a chance to use a tragedy to get 17 more shots up in tonight's game, he'd do it. Like, there was something beautiful about how maniacal he was at certain points of his career.
But again, that's the 31-year-old Kobe. The 41-year-old Kobe would have said, I understand.
Yes.
And I think that's the one that everyone is celebrating now. I mean, Trae Young was as broken up as anybody yesterday, and he went for 45. And you cannot do that without husbanding an awful lot of inner strength. But other people in the parade of games yesterday they looked and played very distracted. Everybody deals with this differently. And I get why they played the games yesterday, and I get why they're not playing Clippers Lakers tomorrow and they're pushing it back to sometime later in the season. I don't know that anybody, given the short timeline, could have made an incorrect decision. I just think everybody walked around in space.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody sort of reacted with the, you know, the right sort of superficial reaction right away. And by that, I mean the 8 second here and the 24 second yeah. there. But he hit too many people in too big a way for anybody to have a coherent set of thoughts about it immediately.
More calls, 888-957-9570. Mark Spears will be joining us soon. This is the Carpenter in Pittsburgh. Hello, Carpenter.
Hey, guys. Just enjoying your show here. I was on my way home from work. Just woke up this morning kind of sad and shocked at the passing of Kobe. Kind of puts things in perspective. I lost my dad about 13 years ago. Back 13 years ago, I'd be 14, on April 20th this year. And I think about him every day. And, you know, it just these type of things like this happen kind of puts things in perspective. I remember Kobe beating up my Warriors for so many years. And, you know, I'm going to miss the guy. And, you know, these things like this happen and makes you think about your loved ones and everything. And, you know, and hope everybody can tell the loved ones they love them. And you never know when these things are going to happen. And someone as successful as Kobe and happened tragedy like this in his life reminds me of kind of like Bill Graham and everything, too, with the helicopter crashing. And you know, it's just very sad, very sad. And God bless his family and everybody else that was in the helicopter. And God bless everybody.
Thank you, Carpenter. Appreciate you. And, you know, somebody on the text line who's just in a quest to be the most forward-facing jackass in the room is saying, this is the most overblown reaction today to just a man. Well, it's not just one man. It's a man who died with his daughter probably clutching him in sheer terror as the mountain came directly at them, or the hill, wherever they crashed. I just for a minute, think about the moment of terror, the looks that everyone must have been giving each other in that helicopter. And it's not just a man. It's nine souls who went down with their children.
It's nine souls and all the people they affected.
Right.
And it's not just the people in the NBA. It's the people who John Altobelli affected in his 27 years as a coach, and the assistant coach who affected other girls who weren't on the helicopter. I mean, it's thousands of people. It's thousands of people.
Still a man. Same guy writes back in. Yeah, good. Let me tell you what. When you die, I hope people are nicer about that passing to just be respectful to your loved ones.
The thing about a situation like this is it costs you nothing to not take in other people's grief if you don't want to participate.
Right. It's free to pass.
That's right. And if the vast majority of people are reacting to something with compassion and you feel like it's a waste of your time, maybe look in the mirror.
And the First Amendment also implies the right not to speak.
That's sure
right.
does.
That's right.
Just go ahead and if you don't have anything nice to say on a day like today,
give it a rest.
Yeah, maybe do just that. Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for ESPN's The Undefeated. Your current pinned tweet, Mark, is one where Kobe was seeking you out in the hallways of Staples Center during his jersey retirement night. How much did that mean to you personally that he was looking for you?
Man, it's just surreal to think that's an old memory now. That can never be duplicated. I had moments with him that were really special because, you know, I was once told by an NBA exec, you know, don't expect a NBA player to ever hug you back. You know what I mean? Like, but Kobe Bryant would always hug you back once he got to know you. He was a star, and Ray knows this, that we always ask those guys questions, but he was one of the few that asked us questions back. That once he got to know you, he remembered things about you and cared about you as a person. And, you know, his last game at Oracle, I remember him asking me to go into the training room, and we had a conversation about not only the end of his career, but he was asking me about my life. And when I got the job at the Undefeated, I sent him an email, and he sent back, man, congratulations, keep telling stories the way you telling your stories and be yourself, and like coaching me. And so, you know, every moment with him wasn't, you know, dancing and lollipops. You know, he was a tough guy, and He didn't like all my questions. He joked with me one time, said, man, you're always asking them Dr. Seuss-ass questions because I try to be introspective. But yeah, I always had some fun times with him. He called me Big Spears. And I just never met an NBA player that respected his role as a star, that was that competitive, that had something prepared for his post-career 5 years before, that knew what was going on in the world, that seemed like he had a master's degree, even though he didn't have a bachelor's degree. He was just unique, beautiful, amazing, brilliant person. And, like, I haven't even reflected much on him as a basketball player. I'm more been reflecting on him as a man.
Of all the interplay with reporters that he ever had, none were more contentious for a long time than those he had with Shelly Smith, because she covered the sexual assault case in Denver, and he clearly was not happy with that. But she tells the story about when she was diagnosed with cancer. He came up to her and basically 12 years of bad blood just got wiped off the board. Were you surprised by that at the time, given how monomaniacal he could be? Or did you see that as part of him either sort of coming out of that sort of inner directed shell and becoming sort of more of a just a global looking human?
Well, I first met Kobe his rookie year in 96. I was a Cub reporter at the LA Daily News, primarily covering the Angels. But when they made the playoffs, I got to spend some time with him. And he was 18, man. He was just young, got married really early, was a star in a city that was bigger than anything in the world, and playing with grown men who didn't have time for him. And so I think he probably had to grow up too fast, was presented with a lot of things that were probably too heavy, and wasn't the easiest to deal with. So I think we saw him grow out of his teenage realm to his young man realm to his married realm to his adult fatherhood. Like, there's evolutions. He had a public life. So I think we saw the evolution, and the Kobe I first remembered and the Kobe in the early 2000s and the Kobe I last remembered were all different people.
When you think about this sort of latest act in his life, I know just as a kid who grew up watching Michael Jordan, the way Kobe was able to transition into post-career and really be a different kind of person and have people reflect on how kind he was and how generous with his time and stuff like that. Was that as surprising to you watching him closely as it was to those of us who were further away?
No, man, he had all kind of stuff going on. It was amazing that he was so focused to be on the floor. I don't know that he really even slept much. You know, he just was always looking for the next competition, the next challenge. I mean, he got the Academy Award, or I mess them all up, but he got that, 2 years after playing? He also, one thing that nobody's really mentioned is there's this book series that he came out with called the Wizard Series Training Camp. And it was written by a guy named Wesley King. And, you know, it's Kobe's youth-oriented series featuring characters of different races and backgrounds. So he gave me a quote, which I'll read to you. He said, because I asked him about having mixed-race characters in the book. And he said, there wasn't a doubt in my mind that the characters would be children of color, mixed race, because that's what I have at home. And that's what I grew up with. But in the industry itself, it's very hard to find that. Very, very hard to find that, because we tend to, the general argument is, well, they can't appeal to the masses. And so he was also looking about race. He was looking about culture. He had some quotes recently about what women basketball players could play in the NBA. And perhaps through his daughter, became an even bigger fan of women's sports. And he's long been a fan of women's sports, but, you know, women's basketball in particular. He just was just always thinking outside the box on a different plane that, you know, most people weren't hip to. He was always two steps ahead of everybody.
Mark Spears joining us here on 95.7 The Game with reflections of the passing of Kobe Bryant and, like we said, eight other souls that perished in that helicopter crash with his daughter. How well, if at all, did you get to know Vanessa, who just, I mean, I don't know Vanessa Bryant. Yeah.
I didn't. No, I mean, he kept, she was, it was private, you know. There wasn't any interaction there. Had I seen her in the hallway? Have I seen her at games? Yeah, but I never got an opportunity to meet her, and he, I think, respectfully kept that side of his life pretty private.
Well, then let me ask you about someone who you do know well, and Jeannie Buss, and what she must be going through today. We got the word that tomorrow's night's game, which I thought was going to be the largest basketball funeral ever played, has been postponed by the Los Angeles Lakers.
Good. I talked to one of their employees today who I'm not going to name, but he had to pull over because he was crying. People have to realize that this is bigger than basketball, man. This is people that have worked with somebody for 20 years. I know he's been retired for a couple years, but he impacted a whole franchise, and it's deeper than the players. It's deeper than the coaches and the coaching staff. It's a whole family. It's a whole Lakers family. And so you're going to ask all these grieving people who have grieving counselors and stuff, grief counselors and everything, suddenly show up to work tomorrow and put on a smiley face and welcome to the Staples Center and let's play a game. I actually tweeted about it earlier. I think it would have been awful to trot those guys out there and tell them to play. You saw LeBron's emotions yesterday. I know Phil Handy, who's from the Bay, is really, really close with Kobe. He's devastated. I mean, the long list of people were devastated. So by having the game, like, it's the Lakers Clippers. You could reschedule it. If Staples don't have a date, which they will, shoot, move it somewhere else. Play it at Pauly. I don't care. Play it at the Old Forum. This is much bigger than that. And it gives both teams a couple days. The Clippers don't have to play again until Thursday. The Lakers, thank God, their schedule is such where they don't have to play again until Friday. So gives them a couple days to take a deep breath, grieve, relax their mind. And I believe probably come Thursday it'd be a lot easier for LeBron and company to talk about passing of their friend.
Was there, of all the sort of transitions that Kobe Bryant made, at least during his public life, which one do you think was the most difficult for him? Was it going from teenager to team leader, sort of team leader to league icon? Was it, you know, career to post-career? What was the one that you think was the most challenging transition for him to make?
I think probably the end, because when you're that great, you're used to having a cape and doing Superman things, and he couldn't anymore. I mentioned that last game at Oracle, he had 8 points. That's not a Kobe Bryant game, that, you know. And I remember Michael Jordan at the end, seeing him in a Wizards uniform. Ray, when's the last time we've seen Michael Jordan Wizards highlights?
Was there one?
Yeah.
Yeah, he pinned Ron Mercer to the backboard one time, but
yeah, they like, you know, burned all the tape. I remember Vashawn Leonard, who couldn't jump higher than me right now, blocking a shot and standing over him. And I feared that Kobe could end his career that way. And he did have a 60-point game, but it, you know, transitioning after the Achilles to being an older player, It was kind of rough to see at the end, and I think he finally realized, okay, man, it's time to go. My body's failing me, but I got some greatness to come, which is super, man, adds to the sadness of this, because the brilliance that we would have seen for many years to come, I think he had so much more to give than he already gave on the floor.
Mark Spears. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time today. We know it's being pulled in a million different directions. Thanks for coming over in our direction for a little bit.
All right, brother. Good to talk to y'all.
You too. Mark Spears. Here on 95.7 The Game, great to speak with him, and it's really good to talk to you, and it's exactly what we're doing when we come back. Michael Irvin, the playmaker from NFL Network, he's going to join us at 4 o'clock today. We're going to ask him his thoughts about this tragic happening in the world of sports, and we will, for a moment, pivot to what's happening at the end of this week in Miami. A little game called the Super Bowl, and I mean that right now. It feels like a little game. It feels like something that will really matter. But today, not so much. Damon Ratto and Kolsky here on 95.7 The Game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises.
Damon Ratto and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
All right, well, we just got word that Michael Irvin can't join us today. Of course, I was forward promoting as we went to break, but Michael cannot join us today. He will join us tomorrow while we're over on the stream. Starting tomorrow at 3:30 p.m., the only way to hear this show is on 95.7 The Game stream on the radio.com app. We'll be live on the stream from 3:30 to 6 o'clock, and we're sending one of our listeners and a guest to Fort Lauderdale, Florida this weekend. We're qualifying five people every hour on the stream only. The winner will receive round-trip airfare, hotel accommodations, and two tickets to Radio.com's The Night Before concert event starring the Zac Brown Band on Saturday night. The prize also includes a meet-and-greet with the band, all brought to you by Greater Fort Lauderdale, only 20 minutes from the Hard Rock Stadium. Visit them today at sunny.org. That's www.sunny.org. So, a reason to listen tomorrow, a chance to win a trip to Fort Lauderdale, and we're going to have Michael Irvin tomorrow over on the stream. Why are we going to be streaming starting at 3:30? Because the Warriors are going to be playing tomorrow night. News today that the Lakers have canceled their game tomorrow night against the Los Angeles Clippers. Of course, Albie deletes it just as I'm about to read it, Albie. God. It was a Shams report that basically said Vanessa Bryant is being consoled by Jeannie Buss and Rob Pelinka, who was Gianna Bryant's godfather, and they're with Vanessa pretty much sitting.
Yes. That, and I also have the Lakers statement if you'd like to hear it.
The Lakers have issued now a statement.
Yes.
About the postponement, right?
Mostly. Okay. It says, in consultation with the NBA League office, the game scheduled between the Los Angeles Lakers and Los Angeles Clippers for Tuesday, January 28th will be postponed and scheduled for a future date. The Los Angeles Lakers would like to thank all of you for the tremendous outpouring of support and condolences. This is a very difficult time for all of us. We continue to support the Bryant family and will share more information as it is available. So very short and to the point. And as far as the Shams stuff goes, it was more or less that the Lakers organization is in grief top to bottom. And at the top, they are spending time and taking their cues from Vanessa Bryant.
Can't argue with any of that.
Nope.
888-957-9570. Your calls here, if you've been waiting patiently, we really appreciate it. Today, where people need to talk with each other. We all process and handle grief differently. I think that the silver lining coming out of the tragedy was just the personal experience I had yesterday, where I know for a fact that I struck up more conversations with total strangers waiting online through security at the gate at an airport, waiting to plane, deplane, whatever. You're around the same strangers for many moments. You're sharing the same space. And where there used to not be conversations, there were conversations everywhere with the Uber driver from the airport back to my house, talking about just how this affected him. I mean, the woman who picked me up from the airport yesterday said, I have never thrown out a piece of paper into a garbage can without saying, Kobe, just like the Dave Chappelle skit. And I thought, you know, I literally hadn't thought of that angle, not once in this entire day I've been thinking about Kobe Bryant, but
I have a shirt of that.
Yeah, it just shows you that everyone takes their own little slice of someone's life, and that's what stays with them.
No, it's, yeah, Kobe Bryant is one of those guys, and there's probably like 15 in your lifetime across different sports that you will remember in that way, where has I at worst the grudging respect of all his peers, and at most sort of the admiration of people who were barely fans at all. And the admiration comes from the fact that they got to see him when he wasn't trying to cut other players' hearts out, that they got to see a more fully dimensional human being. And I think that's why it's hit people sort of outside sort of the basketball diaspora the way it has, because that's the thing that frankly separates him from almost everybody else in the history of the game. I mean, there are people who are, you know, non-fans of basketball who have not heard of hundreds of these guys, even if they're great. But they know about today because not just of the method of his passing and the other eight people, but because he had become more than the sum of his basketball parts. He grew out of that role. And even after you process the stuff in Denver and put it in the place where you want it to be in your memories of him, you have to say that at the end of his life, he found a balance and perspective that he never had before. And Devin George was quoted today saying his daughters changed him. His daughters are responsible for this.
And that is what it seemed like from the outside, certainly. I mean, I know you briefly mentioned the Denver stuff and the Eagle, Colorado, technically, and that's part of his legacy that is going to have to be reckoned with. I think we can probably wait to get too deep into it, but that's part of the Kobe Bryant story. And watching him grow in the way that he did and contribute in the way that he did to women's basketball, to creative landscapes, the novels that I think it was Mark Spears mentioned. Like, the guy sought to have an impact in a lot of different ways and sought to be the best at all times in everything he did. And those are really admirable qualities. And maybe more than any of that, growth, serious personal growth, is incredibly admirable and somewhat rare.
His evolution is part of his story. It's central to his story. And what a lot of people are, respectfully or deciding to punt on, the topic of, you know, him being accused of rape. It's complicated. Surrounding the complication is none of us, not you, not me, not any of us, not a single person listening, only two people in the world know exactly what happened. And when it came time to hold the other accountable, someone said, I'm not going to anymore. I will reach a deal to not take this all the way to the nth degree. That has to be factored into how this is framed. There will be a time for the full story to be examined. The flaws are a very big part of his story. I mean, he came back from a place that very few people will ever come back from, and I got to tell you, I don't know if it would happen if it all happened now.
Yeah.
He was not, that story was not bathed in social media.
It was also pre-Me Too and Time's Up.
Exactly. It was a different world. Certainly doesn't justify anything that may or may not have
happened.
No,
not at all.
Not even close. But to describe Kobe Bryant as unworthy of mourning or framing as a significant historical figure from a sports standpoint, from a cultural standpoint, and to just use the word, he was a rapist, what are we talking about? The lack of perspective and nuance in your life is going to disqualify you from all adult thought as you get older. That's just how you... I know you'd love to say the world is black and white. The colors of gray, if you can't see them, you're blind. 888-957-9570. Chris on 880. Thank you, Chris. You're on 95.7 The Game.
All right, man. Thank you guys for having me. I'm kind of going to piggyback what you just said, Damon, is, you know, I lost my family, my brother, my mother, my dad, like back to back to back. And the hard part about it is nobody knows how you feel. You know what I mean? And so you kind of lose. So when you're touched by somebody's passing or misfortune, don't just push that away. You know, it's embrace it. Like I like to go out and do, I'll go out and I'll do something nice for somebody. Because somebody touched me, I want to touch somebody else and pass that on. And I want to say a prayer for everybody that was involved in it and, you know, that's touched by it. Keep moving on. Thanks, Evan.
I appreciate you, Chris. Thank you very much. And to the person who just said, great job. This is the last time I'll listen to this show. The man just died along with his daughter and you choose to open up this topic. I didn't open this topic. There are several people opening this topic. And so I decided to tell you why we're shutting it. Again, you do not have a right to an unoffended life. If you're going to participate in the American conversation, you're going to have subjects and things that you don't like come across your plate. It's the way it goes. Dre in Oakland. Hello, Dre.
Hello, you guys. Appreciate you taking my call. First of all, my deep condolences and my prayers are with every single one of the fans that are affected. Other normals on behalf of the family as well. But, you see, this is I hope that other professional players are listening to me right now, because the reason why Kobe is so affected to it all is the community, because he worked so hard for what he was. And I hope this encourages other players to do as good a job that he did. So we could be talking, I hope, them as good as we talk about Kobe. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. I'll tell you, one of the goodbyes that I read today was the goodbye written by Allen Iverson.
Yeah.
Who basically said, you know, we were both in the exalted rookie class together, and when I came to L.A. for the first time, Kobe picked me up, brought me out to dinner, then dropped me off at my hotel with the question, like, what are you going to do? And Iverson's like, I'm going to the club. What are you going to do? Kobe's like, I'm going to the gym. Apparently, he spent his entire life in the gym. Like, does anyone have a single Kobe from the club story? I haven't heard of one in his entire 20-year career. Not one.
I'm guessing he managed to sneak in a few, but his public persona was that of the guy who couldn't sit still and couldn't relax and couldn't be the guy at the club, because whether you want to call them demons or driving forces, he always thought that there was more work to be done. And Mark Spears talked about his post-career life. I mean, I have to make a film. I have to write books. He sounds, at least this part of his life sounds, and I'm going to be oversimplistic here, he sounds like a guy who couldn't sit still. He sounds like a guy who was, you know, basically attached to a car battery.
But it was productive energy. It wasn't destructive energy.
No, but what I'm saying is, but my point is, whatever it was, he couldn't sit and watch anything.
Right.
He had to be that thing. And there were times when I'm sure it wasn't good. But even then, he still won the respect of people who he irritated the hell out of. Because he did do that too.
888-957-9570 as we move into our 4 o'clock hour.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.